And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Almost to spring. Very close. Daffodils in the front yard here in Mill Bay. Anyway, I don't want to throw that at anybody. They're just there. I stopped and took a picture. This feature story that we're going to bring you today is about one of the famous wineries in the Okanagan, Osoyoos La Rose. Osoyoos La Rose is a flagship estate of the Canadian wine scene and the exclusive property of Group Teylan since 2013. It's a single-block vineyard overlooking Osoyoos Lake. Those vineyards are classic Bordeaux grape varieties, and they deliver a fabulous Bordeaux blend wine. Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Petit Verdot. I got an email from B at Town Hall Brands, and she said, Osoyoos La Rose, for the first time, is offering its wines direct to consumer via a new winery membership subscription list. What it means is that the wine lovers in BC and Alberta can join La Maison Osoyoos La Rose to receive library wines from the winery, large format bottlings, and early access to new releases. The details can be found on our website, Tasting Room Radio. She was kind enough to put me in touch with Michael Coleman, who is the winemaker at Osoyoos La Rose, and frankly is a hunk of burning love. I mean, take a look at the photos. In terms of iconic wines in British Columbia, Osoyoos La Rose has always been right at the top. It was intended to be iconic from day one, from the first planting, and it remains, and nobody's knocked it off yet, because the wines are sensational. Just usually not available. Most of it heads east. I'm going to ask Michael about that as well. So, a conversation. The entire show is with Michael Coleman, and I thank him for that. Here's a feature story on new dealings at Osoyoos La Rose. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Happy to report that the tasting room will reopen April the 5th. So you can book your tasting now. If you sign up for the newsletter, they'll blow the whistle on the new releases when the time comes. Just pick the wines that you want for your club shipments and get first dibs on releases and fancy rare stuff from the old small lots wines. And shipping is free for 6 bottles or more. And remember, they open April 5. All the details at mooncursor.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We have an audio version of this interview. We have a video version of this interview. The video, by the way, can be seen on the Terry David Mulligan YouTube channel. In the meantime, old school conversation with Michael Coleman, who is the winemaker and general manager at Osoyoos La Rose. Strangely enough, in Osoyoos. First of all, welcome. One of the bottles we're going to talk about is a 2009, which is, thank you for allowing me to taste that. Where were you in 2009?
Oh, I was back in the UK. I was back in London. So before my time, before I arrived in the wine industry.
But what were you doing then?
I was still at school. I don't think I was allowed to drink wine. I was finishing my GCSEs.
And what was there a cathartic moment when you all of a sudden realized that that wine was going to be your direction? What happened? Who was the traffic cop?
Yeah. I think it must have been my wife, actually. After university, I moved to Paris, and I worked a year in Paris. And while I was in Paris, I fell into the wine scene, actually. My wife is French, and obviously she comes from a very, very French family. They drink lots of wine, and started going on wine tastings with her. And it was actually tasting some wine from the Rhone Valley that really opened my eyes. And I remember thinking when I was tasting this Syrah from the Rhone, and I remember thinking, this tastes more of fruit, of pepper, than pepper actually does. And then I remember trying some other wine, I remember thinking sort of like some Bordeaux, and I was going to think like, this reminds me more of strawberries than when I actually eat strawberries or Pinot Noir. Mm. And that's when I realized that wine actually sort of can actually sort of in a weird way make you travel within the glass, and it's actually quite powerful. And so I sort of from there I went off and worked a vintage in the Beaujolais about 8 years ago roughly.
Then was it a summer job or was it?
It was a summer job. Yeah, it was a summer job. I quit my job and I spent a couple of months working in the Beaujolais just to see if this is something I want to do.
And what did your family think you were going to do?
Oh, they just thought I was just having fun, really. They just thought I was going on holiday. But I actually came back and decided this is the career for me. So that was sort of the start of a journey.
You know, we're talking on Valentine's Day. I hope you got her some gifts. But I'm wondering how much of this attraction was romance, and the romance with wine, the romance with a French young lady. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I always quite like to drink from my university days. I've always liked to drink, and I've always liked wine. I never really took it seriously. And then it was when I actually realized how broad the wine industry is. You know, a big part of my job is actually farming, and I was quite attracted to farming and the agricultural part of running the estate. I think that's really interesting. Everything from, you know, the fertilization, the soil management, the everything to do in the vineyard, all the way through to the winemaking, and then even beyond that, how the commercialization of wine and how to sell wine. I always tell people making wine is actually quite easy. Selling wine is a whole other ball game, and it's actually quite difficult. And
it's not very sexy. But it's not very sexy talking about soil and climate and terroir.
It's not. But it's actually where I'm happiest. It's actually where I spend most of my time is in the vineyard.
For example, if you use the term whole cluster in a bar people would look at you if you weren't talking about wine. Who is this guy talking about whole cluster and basket prep, whatever. But you stepped into it. When did you head this way? What was the year?
I arrived in Asturias in 2019. So
2019, okay.
Nearly exactly 4 years ago.
Michael Kuhlman, who is the winemaker and general manager at Asturias La Rose. And before the phone call or the email or whatever, what did you know of us?
Asturias?
Anything. And BC, Okanagan.
BC, I knew about the Okanagan Valley. I'd never tried any wine from the Okanagan. I'd heard about it, but I'd never tried any wine.
And when you did,
I accepted the job.
And when you did,
I was impressed.
What did you taste?
The first wine I tried was the Sur Thorois.
Wow,
It was the first wine I tried. Well, I arrived in 2019, and I took over the job as vineyard manager, viticulturalist. And obviously, the first wine I tried when I arrived was the Sur Thorois de Calva. It really opened my eyes. But what I loved about the Okanagan when I first arrived was it was so diverse. So many different styles of wine compared to, I was in Bordeaux before coming here. So in Bordeaux, it's Bordeaux. Yeah. You're very different. You won't find much else. So what I loved about the Okanagan was coming here and trying lots of different styles of wines. And it just felt like a bit more, you know, people were trying different things and you know, everybody was open to try different things. And I thought it is still a really exciting wine region.
Did you know anybody in the valley?
I didn't, no. Wow. I arrived on my own. I've had a fair few friends here and the wine community in the Okanagan is great. I've been accepted with welcome arms, with open arms, which is good.
Conversation with Michael Kuhlman, who is the winemaker and general manager at Asturias La Rose. I saw a press release go by about the opportunity to join a wine club of sorts and have an opportunity to buy Asturias La Rose. Is the production such that, and the profile of Asturias La Rose such that literally wines are gifted from family to family, from father to son? The structure of Asturias La Rose, explain it to us if you would.
So, I mean, Asturias La Rose started back in 1998, and we've never really expanded our production since about 2005, sure. 6. And we've only ever made two wines, and we've got a very strong following throughout Canada, especially Altice and Ontario and Quebec. And so we have a very good partnership relationship with the monopolies, the LCBO and the SIQ. So we actually sell the majority of our wine on the eastern seaboard and not the western seaboard. And our wine always sells very well, and we don't have that much stock left, actually. But we've always been keeping back some stock to one day release them onto the market, release these older vintages onto the market.
A library.
Library release, exactly, some back vintages. And we just felt that, you know, with 2023, sort of, for me, it was sort of 25 years since we planted the vineyard in 98. And I thought it'd be a nice time to start releasing some back vintages. And so we came up with an offer for people in, for consumers in British Columbia and Alberta, so they can have access to not only back vintages, but also the new releases. So wine that won't be sold anywhere else and large format.
When we come back, Michael Coolman, yeah. we'll be back taking us through those wines at the Soyuz La Rose. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Happy to report that the tasting room will reopen April the 5th. So you can book your tasting now. If you sign up for the newsletter, they'll blow the whistle on the new releases when the time comes. Just pick the wines that you want for your club shipments and get first dibs on releases and fancy rare stuff from the old small lots wines. And shipping is free for 6 bottles or more. And remember, they open April 5. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. And if I can read my notes from lunch, April brings fresh new wines to Unsworth. Cowichan Pinot Gris, Rosé, Sunnydale Rosé, Saison Pinot Gris, and Symphony. And there's a spring release party April 22nd. And a brand new executive chef brings a brand new menu that's launching right now. How about a steak? Boursin Bash, Vegetables, Symphony Jus. How about Two Rivers Burgers and Fries? Or Grilled Romaine Heart Salad? And we welcome a grand new chef, Dan Bain. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Michael Coolman, who is the winemaker and general manager at Osoyuz La Rose. When will we see the 2020?
So if you have signed up to La Maison Osoyuz La Rose, which is our new wine club, you should be receiving it in the summer.
Summer.
You'll receive, yes, yep. For if not, the they'll be shipped out to the provincial liquor boards and to wine shops in about 18 months from now.
I just hope for the audience, we're piquing your interest because we've all heard the name Osoyuz La Rose, but how many of you actually have tried Osoyuz La Rose? How many of you tried? Now, here's the deal. Included in this package, I am absolutely thrilled to hold this. Thank you for this. The 2009 Osoyuz La Rose Le Grand Vin, and it is, okay, so 2009, that's what I asked you, where were you in 2009? The blend that year was 58 Merlot, 26 Cab, Cab Franc 7%, Petit Verdot 7%, and Malbec 2%. So, you know, some would say, well, that's not going to even be near the same sort of mouthfeel, a texture, a finish, but there's a certain commonality to all of them. They are an Osoyuz La Rose Grand Vin.
Yeah.
And what do we know about the growing? I was up there. We lived up there 2007. So 2009, I'm trying to remember the summer. What did you, have you got some notes?
Well, I have some notes on the 09s. Stupidly, I don't have them in front of me, but I'm actually still, I'm quite good friends with Pascal, the yeah. original winemaker.
Pascal Madovan, yes. Right.
Pascal Madovan, and we keep in touch, and we you know, I keep him up to date with what's happening at La Rose these days. And I asked him what his favorite vintage was, and he said 09, 12, and 7, I think. But he had a big soft spot for 09. So obviously after that, I went straight into the Stellar and opened up an 09, and I can see why. And I think 09 has some similarities in the growing season. When I look at I remember looking at the picking dates and the weather data from 09 and 19, and there's some fairly big similarities in terms of when they were picked, when the Merlot was picked, and the type of growing season we had. So the 09 is a classic style of La Rose. It's you know, for me, it's one of those great vintages we've had, and needs to be decanted and needs for me, it's the wines that are made to be eaten with, you know, they'd be drunk with food, and I think it's been enjoyed on a nice table and a nice meal.
Michael, have you done a vertical?
I have. It's parts of the job. Which really
yes, of course. No, it's research. It's research. It's all jobs. Research. Research.
It's all jobs. No, I have done verticals. I've done. I haven't done a vertical of all 20 odd vintages, but I have done some.
Okay, fine.
Some
is there any of this left? The 09?
There is, but limited quantity. There's enough for members of La Maison, the wine club. They'll each receive a case of six. But there's not much.
Not much.
It's really not much.
Is it even possible to ask a price point?
Of that, I don't have one. No.
Okay.
That there's no price point.
Pascal there. Probably does. Now, hold on a second. Yeah. Let me go get this one Sois La Rose I have. Hold on a second.
So what do you have?
That's a magnum.
Well, first of all, it says...
Is that a magnum?
Oh, yeah. It's from my daughter, Mindy. She lives in Oliver Sois. Okay, hold on a second. It's a mag. It's a 2016.
Ah, yeah. Lovely vintage.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, man.
I always like the larger format. Especially
especially if you're gonna sell her. Yeah, sure. If you're a fan of Sois La Rose, this is the show for you. Simple as that. And how could you not be? Nobody's turning their nose up at Sois La Rose. Truly. Michael Kuhlman is the winemaker and the general manager at Sois La Rose. We're going to try some wines. We're going to tell you about these wines, starting with Le Grand Vin 2019. You want to tell them about the growing year?
2019 was my first vintage. For me, it was a great vintage. A vintage of discovery, of understanding the vineyard, discovering the vineyard. But it was great. I always look back at 19 as being one of those vintages that I kind of compare everything to. It had a perfect growing spring. The spring was warm, not excessively hot. We had some rainfall during the spring, and the summer was perfect. You know, we had rain at the right times. It never got too hot, and then we had a fairly long autumn. So for us, it was great, and I really love it. It showcases the wine perfectly balanced.
Yeah,
I think, you know, it has got those big tannins. Yeah. It is a wine that needs time, but it still has a certain
balance. Balances everything. People hear us talking about balance, but to find that balance, to find that sweet spot, is the art of winemaking. It is.
You know, I always say that sort of the two most important steps in winemaking are probably when do you pick. And then when do you press?
Yes.
So for red wine making, it's when do you pick, and then when do you rack the free run off the skins? What I'm looking for whenever I do that is balance, is to see I want the right amount of extraction, I want the right amount of fruit, I want the right amount of acidity.
I know there's a science side to that as well, Michael, but also there's gut instinct. Which one do you go with?
Gut instinct, but gut instincts takes time.
Yeah.
Instinct, it takes time to understand the vineyard and the wine you want to make. And I think Sois La Rose, we've got this one vineyard that I'm learning and it's evolving, but even the style of wine that we're doing is starting to shift to a different style of wine. And so that is a mixture of instinct and a mixture of science of changing the goalposts of it.
The 2019, by the way, the blend, I'm going to give you these numbers, you guys, because I know you like that. 65 Merlot, 16 Cab Franc, 7% Cab Sav, 5% Petit Verdot, and 7% Malbec. So that's the 2019. It's out now?
It's going to be in the BC liquor stores and in the wine shops in the second quarter of 2023.
Okay.
So what we do is that the wine gets aged for just over a year in barrel, a mixture of 1-year-old, 2-year-old, and new French oak.
Yeah.
And then we actually bottle it, and it stays in our warehouses, in temperature controlled, humidity controlled warehouse for about 2 years, and then it gets released onto the market.
Price point?
Price point, that's going to be $54.99 in BC liquor stores.
And could be cellared for how long?
Well, I'd say, depending on the vintage, but the 19, I'd say easily 15 years.
15 years.
Easily. Yeah, I've been drinking some 07s recently, which have been delicious. And I'm happy to say the 2007 the BCLDB is putting an offer on for customers for the 2007 of Grand Vin.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. And if I can read my notes from lunch, April brings fresh new wines to Unsworth. Cowichan Pinot Gris, Rosé, Sunnydale Rosé, Saison Pinot Gris, and Symphony. And there's a spring release party April 22nd. And a brand new executive chef brings a brand new menu that's launching right now. How about a steak? Boursin Bash, Vegetables, Symphony Jus. How about Two Rivers Burgers and Fries? Or Grilled Romaine Heart Salad? And we welcome a grand new chef, Dan Bain. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Happy to report that the tasting room at Hillside is now open for the season. Sales Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. The wine shop Monday to Friday, 10 to 4. The bistro is now open for the season. Lunch from 11:30 to 2:30 and dinner from 5 to 9 with the brilliant work of the chef, Evan Robertson. Make your plans, friends. It's going to be a busy season. For all the details, just go to hillsidewinery.ca. Michael Kuhlman, who is the winemaker and general manager at Osoyoos LaRose. What's the oldest bottle in the library?
Z01, and I've never tried it. It's a 2001. I've never tried it.
I have one in the next room down here in the stables. I got to go grab it and just see what year it is. I want to ask you about this one. This is a beautiful, beautiful, shiny thing.
It is, isn't it?
So this is the
called Shiners.
But the cork said 2020, so I'm going to believe the cork.
It is 2020.
What do we know the blend to be? Do you got your numbers? Do you have your numbers?
The blend of the 2020 is pretty much exactly the same as the 19.
Okay.
It's with 2021 and 2022 is where the blend changes significantly.
But a different growing year.
Different growing year. 2020 was bottled last summer.
Yeah.
And is aging in our warehouse in bottles like that, unlabeled, and then they will be labeled to be shipped out fairly soon.
Okay.
2020 was for me a bit of a cooler vintage to 19, but I actually quite like the colder vintages in the valley. I think it's a challenge, but at the same time, you really have that freshness that stays in the wine. You know, as we've got a bit of a higher acidity and a lower pH, it's actually really interesting from a winemaking's perspective. I really like another vintage is 2020, but I like it for different reasons from the 19. The 19 is this quite big classic style of a Osoyoos rose.
Yeah,
quite voluptuous, big tannins. You can taste the oak, you can taste the fruit. It's there, and it's rather sexy as a style of wine. The 2020 needs a bit more time, and for me, it's very tight and closed at the moment.
I understand that. I recognize. Yeah.
And then 2020 for me, well, you need to decant it for a good, you double decant and leave it for a couple of hours, and it really starts to show. And for me, it's got this beautiful red fruit. It's very tight. It's very structured. But for me, it has this wonderful capacity to age, and it's got that. For me, it's very fresh. And whenever I drink with the 2020, it makes me want to take another glass, which is a bit dangerous.
That is your danger.
It's very dangerous.
Michael Kuhlman, who is the winemaker and general manager at Osoyoos LaRose. When will we see the 2020?
So if you have signed up to La Maison Osoyoos LaRose, which is our new wine club, you should be receiving it in the summer.
Summer.
You'll receive, yes. Yep. For if not, they'll be shipped out to the provincial liquor boards and to wine shops in about 18 months from now.
I just hope for the audience, we're piquing your interest, because we've all heard the name Osoyoos LaRose, but how many of you actually have tried Osoyoos LaRose? How many of you tried? Now, here's the deal. Included in this package, I am absolutely thrilled to hold this. Thank you for this. The 2009 Osoyoos LaRose Le Grand Vin, and it is... Okay, so 2009, that's what I asked you. Where were you in 2009? The blend that year was 58 Merlot, 26 Cab, Cab Franc 7%, Petit Verdot 7%, and Malbec 2%. So, you know, some would say, well, that's not going to even be near the same sort of mouthfeel, a texture, a finish, but there's a certain commonality to all of them. They are an Osoyoos LaRose Grand Vin.
Yeah.
And what do we know about the growing? I was up there. We lived up there 2007. So 2009, I'm trying to remember the summer. What did you, have you got some notes?
Well, I have some notes on the 09s. Stupidly, I don't have them in front of me, but I'm actually still, I'm quite good friends with Pascal, the original winemaker.
Pascal Madovan, yes. Right.
Pascal Madovan, and we keep in touch, and we you know, I keep him up to date with what's happening at LaRose these days. And I asked him what his favorite vintage was, and he said 09, 12, and 7, I think. But he had a big soft spot for 09. So obviously after that, I went straight into the Stella and opened up an 09, and I can see why. And I think 09 has some similarities in the growing season. When I look at the, I remember looking at the picking dates and the weather data from 09 and 19, and there's some fairly big similarities in terms of when they were picked, when the Merlot was picked, and the type of growing season we had. So the 09 is a classic style of LaRose. It's you know, for me, it's one of those great vintages we've had, and needs to be decanted and needs for me, it's the wines that are made to be eaten with, you know, they'd be drunk with food, and I think it's been enjoyed on a nice table and a nice meal.
Michael, have you done a vertical?
I have. It's parts of the job. Which really
yes, of course. No, it's research. It's research. It's all jobs.
Research. It's all jobs. No, I have done verticals. I've done. I haven't done a vertical of all 20 odd vintages, but I have done some.
Okay, fine.
Some.
Is there any of this left? The 09?
There is, but limited quantity. There's enough for members of La Maison, the wine club. They'll each receive a case of six. But there's not much.
Not much.
It's really not much.
Is it even possible to ask a price point?
Of that, I don't have one. No.
Okay.
That there's no price point.
Pascal there. Probably does. Now, hold on a second. Yeah. Let me go get this one Osoyoos LaRose I have. Hold on a second.
So what do you have? That's a Magnum.
Well, first of all, it says...
Is that a Magnum?
Oh, yeah. It's from my daughter, Mindy. She lives in Oliver Osoyoos. Okay, hold on a second.
Ah.
It's a Mag. It's a 2016.
Ah, yeah. Lovely vintage.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, man.
I always like the larger format, especially.
Oh yeah.
Especially if you're gonna
sell her. Yeah, sure.
I think 3 liters are really interesting.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Happy to report that the Tasting Room at Hillside is now open for the season. Sales Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. The wine shop Monday to Friday, 10 to 4. The bistro is now open for the season. Lunch from 11:30 to 2:30 and dinner from 5 to 9 with the brilliant work of the chef, Evan Robertson. Make your plans, friends. It's going to be a busy season. For all the details, just go to hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Wines. Very much a part of the portfolio at Mount Boucherie is Modest Wines. Their fourth vintage in a row is just being released. The original idea for these wines was to have a house red and a white for their restaurant, The Modest Butcher, at Mount Boucherie. Best of all, these wines became incredibly popular and a whole new series took off. Number 4 Orange, The Odd Couple. Zed's Dead, The Crimson Crusader, which is a Carmenere, By Jove, Sangiovese, The Elder Vicar, The Eye of the Partridge, and there's so many more. The mantra at Modest Butcher and Mount Boucherie Estate is to celebrate wine, food, and laughter with an unpretentious yet professional vibe. All the details can be found at mountboucherie.com. Michael Kuhlman, who is the winemaker and general manager at Osoyoos LaRose. Anything down the road you want to tease us with? Any other...
There is actually a fair bit of change going on at LaRose. So we've planted our first white varieties. So we're going to have a white Sauvignon Blanc Sémillon blend. We planted them back in 2020. And so this 2023 will be its first real vintage.
Sure.
Unfortunately, because of the frost we've had... back in December of 22. I'm not sure how much will actually trickle through to the final consumer because we've been hit quite hard.
Okay.
So we've got a white. We've expanded the production of the white. So we've got a, well, this year we'll probably have about 10 acres of white.
Okay.
But that will take a couple of years to hit full production and then go through. But it's something we planted it in 2020, and we sold the grapes the last couple of years to neighboring wineries.
Sure.
And I was really impressed with the quality of the grapes, so we've decided to expand production.
Okay.
Of that, we are now we're certified organic from the 2022 vintage, which was our first certified organic vintage. And in terms of the sort of the winemaking, the technical side, there's a fair bit going on, actually. We've decided to sort of change things around a bit in the winery and in the vineyard. So we're about to move into our new winery. We'll be moving in about 2-3 months from now.
Yep.
And we've included, we've actually revamped the whole cellar and the whole crush pad and the whole production side in the winery. So we've purchased a whole load of new tanks, a whole new crush pad, so that we can start moving towards the gravity for the grape reception. And we've purchased these new tanks, and it basically allows us to further subdivide the vineyard into smaller and smaller blocks. So at the moment, we've got an 80-acre vineyard, which is split into about 25 different blocks. And what I've done is I've got some very expensive drones and some soil mapping and soil pits, and we've sort of started anew with our vineyard map. And so when we pick, we don't pick whole blocks at the same time. We'll pick the top bit of one block with the bottom bit of another block.
Yep.
And we basically created this new map. And so we've purchased these new tanks to go with that new map. So it's going to further help us better understand the vineyard we have. And I think in the long run, better
fantastic
produce better wine.
I meant to ask you, Michael, about your barrel program. All French.
I've actually changed it around. So I took over as winemaker general manager the end of 2021, beginning of 2022. And so I've started to change around a bit the barrel program. So the 2021 Le Grand Vin was like the 2020 and the 2019 was a third split of French oak. So new 1 year and 2 year old. I've actually sort of changed around the cooperages a bit. So we worked with still French cooperages, but I've changed that around. And for the 2022 Le Grand Vin, it's going to be a straight 50-50 1 year old in new oak.
Okay. All right.
So it's changed around a bit.
Have you worked with Slovakian oak?
I haven't, although I'm actually looking at trying some trials with different oak barrels.
Sure. Okay.
And even I want to try with some Fuder, so some Austrian Fuder. It's something we're looking into.
Okay.
It's very good. It gets some great wines.
How do people get information on the club? What's the website? Where are you going to send them?
So if they just go to asurisrose.com, there's a link on the main page which will redirect them to the wine club.
Okay.
And they can sign up there.
All right. Well, I don't know what 2023 holds for you, but it's got to be better than last spring. It's got to be way better than last spring.
Well, I think, I hope, I actually quite like the 22 vintage. I actually quite like the rain.
Yeah, I understand that, but you still needed sun. You still needed bud burst. You still needed growth. Yeah.
Well, I hope for all the wine growers in the valley, I hope 2023 provides a big crop. Is what I'm
Yes, tonnage.
After the frost we've had in 2022, I think it'd be great if we were all wrong when we were counting our buds.
And let me come full circle. When you were tasting in France and you were becoming a fan of wine and being drawn into it, those people you were tasting with, and perhaps you're still friends with some of them, have you poured this Sauvage La Rose for them?
I have. My father-in-law is actually my biggest critic, actually. My wife and my father-in-law.
Okay.
And they like the style of Azur Therose, which makes me happy.
Is it surprising to them? Does it come at them with completely different flavors and textures?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very different. And
and fresh.
We make a Bordeaux. Yeah, I think it's a Bordeaux blend, but it's not a Bordeaux. I'm not trying to make a Bordeaux. I'm trying to make an Okanagan wine.
Yeah.
And so we do things very, very differently. We have the same varieties, but apart from that, we do things very, very differently.
I'm sorry to have to go because I have enjoyed this, but I'll see you down the road. I will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll see you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. I hope you have a great year. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Wines. Very much a part of the portfolio at Mount Boucherie is Modest Wines. Their fourth vintage in a row is just being released. The original idea for these wines was to have a house red and a white for their restaurant, The Modest Butcher, at Mount Boucherie. Best of all, these wines became incredibly popular and a whole new series took off. Number 4 Orange, The Odd Couple. Zed's Dead, The Crimson Crusader, which is a Carmenere, By Jove, Sangiovese, The Elder Vicar, The Eye of the Partridge, and there's so many more. The mantra at Modest Butcher and Mount Boucherie Estate is to celebrate wine, food, and laughter with an unpretentious yet professional vibe. All the details can be found at mountboucherie.com.